The Bible says, in everything give thanks. I was getting ready to thank the Lord for these dead, but we've had such nice weather. It's something to give thanks for. Amen. The Mayflower Compact was drafted on November 11, 1620, which reads as follows. By the way, listen to this, and don't ever let anybody tell you that this nation was not founded a Christian nation. Don't let any, see, you'll get some egghead that has had more learning than his head can possibly take, and he'll tell you it was not founded a Christian. Listen, this is what the document reads as. In the name of God, amen. Boy, we could stop right there. We, whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign, Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancements of the Christian faith and honor of our King and country, a voyage to plant the first colony. That was what the pilgrims came to do. We take time to remember these events that we're talking about each year at what we call Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a Bible word. Amen? It's a Bible word. Besides symbolizing a time when many of us gather together and feast on turkey, and I'm certainly not against that, and all God's people said, and cranberry sauce, as long as it looks like a can, Blondie, amen. That's my and Blondie's running joke, amen. She makes the real kind, and I want the kind that looks like a can, hallelujah. You know, when you take it out and you slice it, amen. All that, what does Thanksgiving truly mean? Peter Marshall and David Manuel's account, The Light and the Glory, tells how the pilgrims at Plymouth Rock endured extreme hardship to pioneer a new land. During the first 4 months of that year, nearly half of the pilgrims had succumbed to illness and died under the harsh strain of their barren lifestyle. Listen, folks, there was no buildings for them to come to. They came in November. Just imagine us coming, nothing out tonight. Tonight it's reasonably warm. This was a cold winter when they came. Of the 102 that sailed in September of 1620, only 53 were alive in November of 1621. Of the 18 adult women, only 4 were left alive. The pilgrims' daily existence was a life or death battle to overcome constant hunger, sickness, exposure to the elements. Crudely assembled houses made of mud were their only shelter from the icy New England weather. Because they were not yet knowledgeable about their new environments, agriculture, planting gardens, and hostile conditions proved virtually fruitless. Every meal was portioned out meticulously. The death toll, a constant reminder of their fragility, rose steadily. At one point, only 5 men were well enough to care for all the sick. Despite their tribulations, the pilgrims thanked the Lord every day, petitioning Him for rehabilitation. One morning during an ordinary Sunday worship service, the Lord sent tangible evidence that He had heard their prayers. Their church service was interrupted by an unexpected guest, an Algonquin Indian chief who assessed their hopeless situation. Think about this, folks. He assessed their hopeless situation and returned with a helper named, many of you know, Squanto. The pilgrims who had warred with the Indians before lived in a continual fear of being attacked by them, were astonished by their new friend's eagerness to provide much needed assistance. You know, they used to teach this in public schools, but not anymore, folks. Everything I'm telling you was once taught in our public schools. Squanto, a Pawtux Indian who spoke perfect English. Now that's the providence of God right there. Taught the pilgrims how to hunt game, trap beavers, plant Indian corn, a staple that would eventually save their lives. When the harvest yielded more than the pilgrims could eat, Governor William Bradford, their elected leader, declared a day of public thanksgiving. He invited the chief of a friendly neighboring Indian tribe to join their tribute of thanksgiving. The pilgrims were excited to celebrate with their honored guests, but were completely shocked when he arrived with 90 other Indians. Bet you hope that doesn't happen to you on Thursday, amen? If we all stop over, amen? Although God had provided abundantly, their food supply would not accommodate a group of this size, and they had no idea how to feed their visitors. Despite their quandary, all worries were soon dismissed. To their amazement and ever-increasing thankfulness, the Indians had brought with them 5 dressed deer, and all God's hunters said, and 12 fat wild turkeys. I'm glad they didn't bring skinny wild turkeys, amen. Fat wild turkeys, amen. Over time, they taught the women how to make pudding, maple syrup, and an Indian delicacy, roasted kernels of corn called popcorn. Amen. We're having some tonight when I get home. Hallelujah. The pilgrims' trials were far from finished. Their plentiful autumn was followed by a particularly treacherous winter. Unfortunately, the weather proved to be the least of their ailments. In November, a ship called the Fortune dropped anchor in their harbor. Aboard the ship were 35 more colonists who had brought with them no provisions, no food, no extra clothing, no equipment for survival. Additionally, the oppression of the physical environment had become almost unbearable after a 12-week drought dried up their crops and withered their spirits. The newcomers' arrival had drained already inadequate food rations, and there was no obvious resource for sustenance. At their lowest point, the pilgrims were reduced to a daily ration of 5 kernels of corn apiece. In utter desperation, they fell to their knees and prayed for 8 hours without ceasing. Again, God heard their prayers. 14 days of rain followed. A second day of thanksgiving was declared. The neighboring Indian chief was again their honored guest. He brought with him 120 braves this time for thanksgiving. The pilgrims feasted on game and turkey as they had done for the previous celebration. Only this time, one dish was different. The first course, served on an empty plate in front of each person, consisted of 5 kernels of corn, a gentle reminder of God's faithful provision for them. The pilgrims' humble response in their affliction is evidenced by their many writings which express their deeply thankful hearts. And we can learn countless lessons about sincere thankfulness from their example. Listen, folks, God commands us to live a life of gratitude and thanksgiving. It's not an option. In everything, give thanks. By teaching our children to have grateful hearts, we can prepare them to respond gracefully when life's trials come. One thing we know, Brother Holy, trials will come. The impact of gratitude can extend to every area of life. I want to give you 5 things tonight that a grateful heart will do. 5 things in 10 minutes, I promise. A grateful heart, number one, will motivate us. It'll motivate us. What will it motivate us to do, Pastor? It'll motivate us to look for His purpose in our circumstances. When we consider the pilgrim's story, we can see God's hand directing their course all the way from England to the New World. We can see how He strengthened them and enabled them to settle a new land. And if we're perceptive and truly thankful, we can see His guiding hand shaping and influencing our own lives, even in situations that we don't like. You say, something awful happened to me as a child. And listen, I do not dismiss that. One of the hardest things for me is to reconcile the abuse of a child. It sickens me. One of the reasons why when we go in and to prison and work with the inmates and we go and play softball, that Brother Jones counsels us, do not ask the inmates what they are in for, is the exact reason I just gave you. Amen? But you listen to me and listen well. God wants to take those experiences and make you better and allow you to help someone else. Job chapter 1 verse 20. After Job had lost everything, including his 10 children, he said this, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." That word, worship, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot truly worship God if you are not thankful. What did he say? He said in verse 21, he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord hath given, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You see, it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to mean it. I heard Brother and Sister Merrill's testimony. Today's the day. I didn't hear the fact that God was mean and God hated them. I heard two very grateful and thankful people that God had given them their son for 10 years. Listen, folks, a grateful heart will motivate us to look for His purpose in our circumstances. So many times we just look at our circumstances. Hey, let's live above that, folks. God's got it all under control. Let it motivate you. The song, we sang it this week, "God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying His servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness He giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take, and when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold." You know, the songwriter who wrote that is a man named Ron Hammond. He got cancer of the eye. And he wrote that song as he was dealing with cancer of the eye. Many of our young people may know him now as Patch the Piper. Goes all over the country speaking and singing as Patch the Pirate. I'll tell you what he did. He was thankful to God and he used it to motivate him to see God's purpose in our circumstances. Number two, a grateful heart not only motivates us, a grateful heart reminds us of our complete dependence upon God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. James 1:17. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It changes our attitude toward life. When the pilgrims thanked the Lord regardless of their destitution and entreated Him to supply their needs, they were able to respond positively to daunting situations and overcome great obstacles. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when we thank Him for everything, big and small, happy and sad, we begin to realize that there's nothing that we possess that has not been given to us by God. Listen, it reminds us of our constant dependence upon God. You know, the Bible says the heart of the king is pure. So is everybody else. Couldn't even draw a breath but by the permission of God. For without me, he can do nothing, Jesus says. A grateful heart reminds us of our constant dependence on God. Hey, listen, sir, I appreciate that testimony, Lev. God gave you that job. God gave you the skills to be able to do that job properly. Amen. Unc, God gave you that company. God gave you the mental facilities to be able to do that. Brother Mark, God moved you this year. A strange test you went through this year, brother. God knew. God gave you that. Amen. God trusts you with that. And so many others could say, hey, everything I have comes from God. By the way, that's why, Brother Terry, and we will pray for you about that. That's why it's no problem to tithe. Because He gave me 100% of it. Amen. He gave me 100%. I can give back 10. I can give back 18, 20, whatever. Amen. Why? Because He's given it all to me. Oh, thankfulness will do that. It'll motivate us. It'll remind us. Number three, it'll increase us. It'll increase us in our trust of God when we're thankful. When the pilgrims set sail for America, they could not see the new land. The earth was flat, you know. Remember? Gonna fall right off the edge. They had to trust the compass of the Mayflower. Likewise, when they arrived at Plymouth Rock, they had no foreknowledge of what would sustain their lives from then on. They had to trust God for everything, from food and shelter to a secure future for their families. I think I've read that when Jesus taught His disciples to pray and He said, give us this day our daily bread. Not weekly, not monthly. And thank God, God blesses us. Amen. I'm not discounting that. But you know what it says in Psalm chapter 100, verse 3? It says, we are His people and the sheep of His pastures. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Why does it say that? Listen, because the shepherd will take care of the sheep. He's the great shepherd. And you know what great gratefulness does? Gratitude, it increases our trust of God. You know, the more you're thankful to God for what He's given, the more likely and apt you are to trust Him more. Amen? You show me somebody that's an ingrate, that's an old word, but it's still a proper word. You show me somebody that's an ingrate, I'll show you someone with minuscule faith. You show me somebody that gets up and praises God and gives God the glory even for the little things, even for the trials. And I'll show you somebody whose faith is growing. It increases us. It reminds us. It motivates us. Number four, it teaches us to rejoice in every situation. Listen, folks. I think those pilgrims, you know what they did? They rejoiced for those five kernels of corn. They were thankful. It teaches us to rejoice in every situation. I think of, like the pilgrims, Paul was refined through this. And he was taught that God, listen, that our light affliction is but for a moment, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, but worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. It teaches us to rejoice in every situation. One of the curses of America is we have so much we don't go our health. Listen, even in the Church of God, things just don't go my way. I'll tell you, it was yesterday. Amen. I'm so thankful for Brother Kelly and Brother Kraft. They helped me get my garage cleaned out yesterday. But early, I got up early and I started. I was gigantic pile of leaves because the theater was going to come by in the morning and pick it up. I still had some leaves to take care of, so I started praying. And you know how that goes? It's way more than you ever thought it was. Amen. You start praying that. I get pushing and I'm almost pushed out of the street and here comes the theater. And I'm standing here in my own meeting about this big, going, my wife looks out and says, well, I think we've got some yard bags. I said, close the door, woman. You can go now. I know you said something spiritual like you haven't been in your bags. But you know what? I thought about that.
teaches us to rejoice in every situation.
It increases our trust in God. It reminds us of our dependence upon Him. It motivates us to look for His purpose in our circumstance. And number five, it transforms us. How does it transform us, Pastor? Being thankful turns our anxiety into the peace of God. Thankfulness does that. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4 and we'll end here. Right on 8 o'clock. Philippians chapter 4. You know these verses. If you've been in church at all, you know these verses. Philippians chapter 4. Beginning in verse number 4. Just in case you didn't get it in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 where it said rejoice evermore. God makes it really clear here in Philippians. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. You know, Paul only had to say it once. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. But just in case you missed it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Here it is, folks. Be careful or anxious for nothing. We talked about it Sunday night. Worrying. That's what it is. Worrying. Being careful. Chewing your fingernails. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, the pilgrims had a myriad of reasons to fear for their lives. Thanking God in plenty and in want enabled them to celebrate His faithfulness to them. When we focus our attention on God's provision for us, we begin to see a world through a Christ-centered lens. We become acutely aware that He abides with us continually, and we can rest in His peace. Can't, listen.
Can't have the peace of God without thanking. The verse. Yeah. And what's it say?
It says, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's a process there. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, letting your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. He'll give it to you. Be thankful. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm convinced if we started making a list of our blessings and our burdens, that our blessings would far outnumber our burdens. The song is not written, count your burdens, name them ton by ton. No, it's count your blessings. Amen. What a grateful heart can do in your life. Father, we love You. You've been so good.